one of the things that I just realized just this moment, that we all have an obligation to say those, to only say those things that Father tells us to say, or do those things Father tells us to do, and not pull any punches. We all have that obligation. I have that obligation on other days than days that I'm ministering. And I've been reserving it sometimes just for ministry days. And when you do that, you wind up saying some things that he didn't tell you to say, or doing some things that he didn't tell you to do. And you may find yourselves pulling some punches. But we need to know that the word is right. First of all, because there's too much at stake. And secondly, because God is about to unfold something in our midst. And he wants everybody to be in the right place, to be in the right mindset, have the right attitude, because all of us are going to have major parts to play. All of us. So we're going to talk about the word. Say the word is right. See, one of the most detrimental things to me, for me personally, is believing I'm right. See, how can that be detrimental? Because I have a habit of digging in and not caring what happens or what the results are because I'm right. You throw away all controls, you throw away logic, you throw away reasoning, and you even throw away love because you're right. And while I'm being very transparent, I have a feeling I'm not the only one. I'm not going to ask for a crowd. I don't mind standing alone. But there's some things we just need to look at. We don't want to look at them. You know why we don't want to look at them? We want to be right. We want to be right. I see some heads nod. I said, yeah, okay, that's good. Look at Proverbs 21. Verse 2, King James Version. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. The Lord is looking and saying, why are you taking this position? What's the real agenda here? Proverbs 14, verse 12, King James. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you need to understand something. That doesn't necessarily mean physically dying. It could be death to a relationship. It could be death to a possession. It could be death. Something's going to die if we just take the position, I'm right, and I don't care what happens because of this. I had a conversation with my father, God, because my natural father is in heaven. My spiritual dad is in heaven. But my heavenly father is still here. And my savior is still here. But I was in my office, and I was thinking about a conversation I had this week. And I kept saying to myself, I'm not wrong. I'm right. Then I picked up something that was sent to me and I read it and I got convicted. And I realized that I may be right. I may be right. But in the overall scheme of things, I'm as wrong as two left shoes. I'll tell you why. Get a pen, or if you've got an electronic device, get to notepad or whatever you keep your notes in, because I want you to write this down. Say amen when you're ready. Amen. Okay, there are two more people. Hurry up. Are you ready now?
Yes.
Being right will never cause you to be disobedient to God's will and His word. I'll say it again so you can say amen. Being right will never cause you to be disobedient to God's will and His word. Never. Say never.
Never.
2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. This is the easy to read version. All scripture, how much?
All.
Is given by God, and all scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. So you can be right and live the wrong way. Those of you found that strange, but stick with me and you'll see it. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. So that poses an uncomfortable question. How can one be right if their rightness causes them to violate the scripture that God breathed? Something to think about. While standing in my rightness, I'm violating scripture. So am I still right? Then what's right? The word is right. All scripture is given by God. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by God, and all scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. Using the scriptures. Not what you think. Not what you feel, but using the scriptures, you'll have everything you need to do every good work. And then we'll wind up being truly right and we can act accordingly. But we have to try and figure things out. And we look at circumstances and we say, I'm right. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 in the message, because it says using the scriptures. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. This is the Message Bible. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Now, I got to read this next one. So just take a deep breath. If you need to grip the side of the chair, you can. Don't assume that you know it all. The only thing we know is our intent. The only thing we know is our take, our position on anything. We don't know how we look to others. I may think I look good. And someone say, what is Pastor doing in a red jacket? My goodness, does he know what he's wearing? I think it looks fine. So what we're doing is that we're basing our position on what we see, not necessarily how something really is. We base our position or we take a stand based on what we see. But 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. So why are we caring what it looks like? because looks can be deceiving. One of the ways my body lets me know it's tired is double vision will form. I'll be looking at someone that look like one, and all of a sudden, it branches out. And it looks like two. And if someone said to me, how many people are there? I'll say two, because that's what my eyes see. But my eyes are operating tired, and they're not seeing things how they really are. But if I'm basing my operation on what I see, and what I see is not always crystal clear, is not always accurate, I'm going to make some terrible decisions. Because I'm walking by sight and not by faith. Proverbs 3:10, the message. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Even the way you feel. Our feelings should honor God. If they're not honoring God, something is out of place. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your bonds will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. This passage lets us know that we shouldn't assume that we have all the details. And I realize something about that. I don't need details. You know what I need? Direction. We don't need details. We need direction. Direction. Well, when you think about it, you could waste your time getting all the details available. Then what are you going to do with them? You can have all the details and use it the wrong way. But if I have directions, I don't even need answers. Because once I have the answer, what am I going to do with it? I can have the answer and use it the wrong way. So I need direction. I need godly wisdom as to this is what I'm looking at, this is what I'm supposed to do with it. And not say, oh, this is simple. See, this fits. Everything, I told this once when I was the youth director. Some of the youth will remember it. We were talking about chastity. And I said, here's a basic rule to remember. Just because the parts fit doesn't mean it's a match. Everything that fits is not necessarily a match. You say, well, this fits, but it's not a match. It's not a match. So we need direction so that my thoughts line up with what God says. My thoughts line up with who God says I am. My thoughts have to line up with what God said, period. Period. Even if I had the details and came up with the right answer, I still need to know what to do with the information. All scripture is given by God. All scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives, and it's useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. Using the scriptures. Since you don't take time to get your direction from the scriptures, you're not going to be truly right. Look at John 16. Starting with verse 13, Amplified Classic. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. You could say he will guide you into what is right. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority. See, when we think we're right in our own eyes, we're preaching our own message on our own authority. But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. Whatever God tells him, he tells us. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. So we're being directed to the revelation we will receive via the Holy Spirit that's within us. So if the Holy Spirit is present, there's some other things that should be present. If we have the Spirit of God, or since we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, there's some qualities of the Holy Spirit that should always be present. And if you think you're right, and those qualities, all those qualities aren't present, you're in trouble. Well, what things should be present? Go look at Galatians 5. Verse 22 and 23, this is the Passion Translation. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is, first, before I tell you what they are, and there are nine of them, well, I'll read it first. According to the Passion Translation, or the way it depicts it, divine love in all its varied expressions. That means every possible way to say I love you is present. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Peace that keeps you under control. Patience that endures. Kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart. I realize because I think I'm right, I'm not being gentle. Because my heart, I don't allow gentleness in my heart, I allow I'm right in my heart. And strength of spirit. Strength of spirit. Never, it concludes by saying, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. So just because I'm right doesn't mean I disregard the fruit that's supposed to be coming out of me. And it's not fruits. Fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is all nine. You can't decide, oh, I can operate in love, but I'm not being patient anymore. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit includes all of those nine things that I read. I'm going to read them again in a little bit. If the result of my being right doesn't produce that fruit, then I need to get back to the word for a system diagnostic because something's out of line. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror or in the camera, say something is out of line. I'm right, but I'm wrong. So I can't be right. Anytime Jesus interacted with the people, divine love in all its varied expressions was present. Every time. No matter what he was going through, no matter what people were, quote unquote, doing to him or trying to do to him. There was joy that overflows. There was peace that subdues. There was patience that endures. There was kindness in action. Because he told the truth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, they picked him up to throw him off a cliff. They put their hands on him, picked him up. He didn't start cursing them. He didn't pray to the Father to strike him down. He could have. Father, break all their ankles. And he said, I'm right. They're trying to kill me. I have a right to defend myself. But that wasn't your purpose for coming. So he left all of his protection up to the one who sent him. And he didn't concern himself about whether he was right or not. He concerned himself with, am I doing the will of my Father? Have I seen my Father do this since I've come? Since he sent me, has this been his behavior? No. Will I represent him? So if it's not his behavior, it shouldn't be mine either. And strength of spirit. These nine, they were always flowing, always present, wherever Jesus was with. And it's, as I said before, it's an all-in deal here. You have to have all nine. You can't have love and not joy. You can't be kind and impatient. If the Holy Ghost is present, all nine will be there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we can't even get to God to ask a question unless we go through Christ. John 5, verse 19. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you most solemnly, and I tell you, this is the Amplified Classic, the Son is able to do nothing of himself on his own accord. See, Jesus doesn't do anything based on his assessment of a situation. But he, meaning the Son, is able to do only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. John 8. Listen to this. This talks about the woman caught in the act of adultery, but I've never seen it in this light before. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, at dawn, he came back into the temple court, and the people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them when the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who they said had been caught in adultery. They made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses, in the law, commanded us that such women offenders shall be stoned to death. But what do you say to do with her? What's your sentence? Now, that was a setup. The scribes and the Pharisees had a degree of rightness. They had a little bit of rightness because Leviticus, where is that? I know I have it in here. Leviticus 20, verse 10 says, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. They only bought the adulteress. They forgot the adulterer. So there was some rightness to what they said. The law says she should be stoned. No, the law says they should be stoned. But Jesus didn't respond to their question. Because they said it trying to test him, hoping that they might find a charge in which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, "Father, what do I say to these dummies?" I got that from Pastor Clint. He didn't respond right away to their question. That told me, I don't care how pressing we may think the situation is, you don't have to respond right away. You can take the time not to see what's right, to get direction. Because the direction that you get from the Holy Ghost will be what's right. And that'll be the only thing that's right. However, when they persisted with their question, he raised himself up and said, "Let him." See, I'd have said it differently, but I'd have been wrong. No, I'm not going to tell you how I would have said it. He raised himself up and said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." I'm sure the guys are looking around. Some of them are thinking, how'd I know where she was? Where do you go to find someone in the very act of adultery? Unless there's some additional information you know. Then he bent down and went on writing on the ground. Let's see if these guys figure this out. They listened to him and they began going out, conscience stricken one by one, from the oldest down to the last one of them. So Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. It says, when Jesus raised himself up, so it's not that they left and he got right back up. It's when he finished his communication. So don't be in a hurry. Pastors, founding pastors used to tell an account, or to tell a story. I don't think it was a real account. In fact, it probably couldn't be a real account now that I think about it. But there's a principle involved. There's this young missionary that said God told him to go to Afghanistan. I'm just picking a country. And that he'll be safe. And the person went to Afghanistan and got killed. Went to heaven and saw Jesus and said, "What happened? You told me to go and you told me I'd be safe." He said, "You didn't wait and let me finish. I was going to say in 2 years." So you have to take the time to wait to get all of the communication. When Jesus raised himself up, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She answered, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go on your way, and from now on, sin no more." See, the scribes and the Pharisees were right in their own eyes, but they weren't seeing things clearly. They weren't really concerned about the law. Their target was what to do about Jesus. Ooh. The devil's not concerned about the word that's in us. He's concerned about what we do with the word that's in us. That's why he motivates us to do things that show the word is not in us. In the same way, they were not seeing clearly. They felt a certain entitlement. After all, they're scribes, they're the Pharisees. I'm a child of the Most High God. I deserve. Yeah, you deserve to die. But the grace of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "I have much to say about you," in John 8:26, Amplified. "I have much to say about you and to judge and condemn, but he who sent me is true, reliable, and I tell the world only the things that I have heard from him. They did not perceive nor understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, know, understand that I am he for whom you look. And listen carefully, that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father has taught me. Now ask yourself that uncomfortable question. Everything you've said to people, has it been exactly what your Father taught you to say? And he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I don't do what makes me feel good, necessarily, because pleasing him makes me feel good. But my goal should always be, I want to do what's pleasing to my Father, not my flesh. To my Father, not my flesh. Jesus said in John 12, verse 47 to 50 in the Amplified, if anyone hears my teachings and fails to observe them, does not keep them, but disregards them, is not I who judges him. For I have not come to judge and to condemn and to pass sentence and to inflict penalty on the world, but to save the world. You could put, therefore, anyone who rejects me and persistently sets me at naught, refusing to accept my teachings, has his judge. However, for the very message that I have spoken will itself judge and convict him of the last day, on the last day. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or of my Father's own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. The Father has given me directions concerning what I should be saying to you and how I should be saying it. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. See, even though there was some rightness to what the people in the crowd wanted to do to that woman, Jesus waited for the Father's determination of what was right and went with that. The Father's determination. And like I said earlier, because he did that, that woman, even though she was guilty, she experienced divine love in all its varied expressions. She experienced joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a full life of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. So what do we do with this new information? Deuteronomy 12, English Standard Version. You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, everyone doing what's right in his own eyes. We're not doing that anymore. Whatever I speak, I'm going to say exactly what my Father has told me to say in accordance with his instructions, because ultimately, that's what's right. That's what's right. But here's one last thought I want you to think about. John 5, verse 19 to 23 in the Passion Translation. So that the honor that belongs to the Father will now be shared with the Son. So if you refuse to honor the Son, you are refusing to honor the Father who sent him. If we continue to operate based on what's right in our own eyes, we're dishonoring Jesus. And if we are dishonoring Jesus, we're dishonoring the Father. If we dishonor Jesus, we're dishonoring the Father. He always did and spoke what is right based on his instructions from the Father. Jesus could have said, yes, that's right, because the woman should have been stoned. He could have said, but first go back and get the guy and then stone them both. But that's not what God wanted. That's not what he wanted. Mary got, she got a revelation. The woman, she got a revelation. And she became a strong follower of Christ. That's what God wants. He wants to bring people together. He wants to strengthen their spirits, their faith, their love. The only way people are going to know God exists is through their interactions with his children. As the youth director, there are a lot of things I found out about parents by interacting with their children. See, everyone smiles, assuming that is all bad things. No. No, they were just things that you see. Because the children were imitating their father. One of the things that comes up when I talk with people, well, they say, what do you think about pastors that take money from the congregation and sleep with the members of the congregation? I said, I don't think about them. And one time I asked a person, I said, what do you do for a living? And they told me. I said, are there any people in your profession that do wrong things? Yeah, so what's the difference? You're not quitting your job. And they say, oh. I said, I'm not saying that what they're doing is right. It's wrong, but you shouldn't make decisions on your life based on what someone else has done. You make decisions for your life based on what God has told you. Lord, but you got to understand how that makes me feel. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement for your peace. What you need to get over, what was said or done, was placed on him. And with his stripes, you were healed. Healed of what? The effects of anything anybody says. It's not just physical healing. Whatever's causing me pain, and whatever's causing me, my spirit to be unsettled, whatever's causing me grief, whatever it is that I say I don't like, it was all placed on Jesus so I could have peace. So if I don't have peace, it means even though, like, this podium is Jesus and everything's placed on him, I'm picking it all back up and carrying it myself, because if I do it his way, I can't feel the way I feel and be right. But I can disregard everything that Jesus said to give myself the feeling that I'm right. But not only would I be wrong, I'd be dishonoring the Father. So take a lesson. We have to, in this world, we will have tribulations. In this world, we will have, but be not dismayed. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Our attitude needs to be, you did? Yes. So what am I supposed to do about this situation? Because you've already overcome it. So why do I have to figure out how to overcome anything? Father, what do I do about this situation? And then be obedient to the directions he gives me, whether I like them or expected them or not. Father, this neighbor of mine, I don't know why I have to live next to them. All the music that they play. Oh, I know what it was. All the weird stuff that they're doing. Different people coming up and down to their house. Get them out of here. Father, he said, invite them over for dinner. See? See? You're driving along, you stop at a light, and someone who looks homeless comes up to you. The sign, it says, God bless you, please help me. You push the button so the window goes all the way up. Click, we make sure that the car is locked. And we pretend we don't see them. And we think we're right because, after all, they're just going to go buy alcohol with that anyway. Like we do everything we're supposed to do with the money God gave us. Father, what's right? Father, what's right? I told you this before, we'll be sitting in a restaurant. We being my wife and I. And God will tell us, he'll point out a couple to us or a person to us, pay their check. I told you this before, but it bears repeating. I went to the local gas station on Garden State. And I figured I'm going to listen to my wife because I looked at the gas and it was a little less than half a tank. And one of the things I do, I have a tendency to let the car tell me when to put gas in it. So I'm coming, well, I forget, he knows what it needs. So I'm coming back, and I'm tired. I'm really tired. But I pull up, and there's a long line. And I'm like... So I looked for the shortest line and started heading toward that. And my father interrupts me and says, no, I want you to go on that line. I looked, it was the longest line. But I get on that line and I'm waiting. And I'm like, well, this is getting moving. And I'm looking at the gas attendant. And this particular attendant, in my own eyes, was as rude could be. I'm like, why I have to come on his line? Usually they come to, how may I help you something? He would just come to wait for you to put either cash or the credit card in his hand. They do that, and then I'd see him doing this. And he went like this. I guess he was waiting for the person to tell him how much. And we're going along. And we get a few cards away, and God said, I want you to bless him. No problem. I always tip the guy's pumping gas. I'm grateful that I don't have to do it. So I pulled out what I was going to give him. He said, I want you to give him, I think it was $10. I think. Either $10 or $20, one of the two. I think it was $20. I'm not entirely sure. And I said, okay. I didn't go, $20 to you, Craig. I said, okay. He gave me the $20 anyway. And he said, when he comes, just open your mouth. So he wouldn't even tell me what to say. And the guy came. I said, fill it with 87. Philip, please. 87. He snatched the cup. I wanted to, what are you snatching this out of my hand? He pumped the gas. He came and God said, hold his hand when he comes to give you the receipt. Because he stuck the card in. I took the card with one hand, held his hand, and looked at him. And I heard myself saying, God said, just like I'm taking care of this, I'll take care of that other thing also. This person was like, oh, thank you, Lord. God bless you. I was running around dancing and greeting every car. How are you? Good evening, everyone. God bless you. Oh, thank you. I'm driving. He's waving at me, jumping up and down. I don't know what was going on in his life. I didn't ask him, what are you so excited about? I did what was right based on direction from my father. And that person felt divine love in all its various expressions. He had joy that overflows. He had a peace now that subdued whatever was working in him before. He had patience that endures. He saw kindness in action. His life became full of virtue. His faith prevailed. His heart became gentle, and he was strong in his spirit. Folks, you want to be right? If you really want to be right, you'll only do those things that your father tells you to do. You'll only say exactly what he tells you to say. And you'll let the fruit of the Spirit of God within you manifest itself on your exterior in everything that you do. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for calling us the Redeeming Love Christian Center. Thank you, Lord, that you want to make sure that we are a place where the love of God is evident, where the Word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is in manifestation. And that's only going to happen if we continue to do those things that you tell us to do, or say those things that you tell us to say, and not change up a bit on any of it. I repent, we repent, Lord, for operating in what we thought was right. Even if it really was right, it was wrong to not check with you and find out what we were supposed to do. Just like the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, you had other plans. And the plans were not to stone anyone to death, but to bring them life to them and those that they touch because of the fruit of the Holy Ghost that they experience through your children. We thank you, Lord, that everyone will understand everything that you share today and operate in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I apologize for the times I stood before you during this season, ministering on what we should do and not doing it myself. Not doing it myself. But he was wounded for my transgressions. And he was bruised for my iniquities also. And what I need to have peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. With his stripes, we are healed. So we can walk out, no matter what faces us, no matter what shows up, we have to remember the word is right. And find out from God what word to use. Don't tell me. Well, they said Judas hanged himself, so I hung him. No. No. You find out what word should be used. I've said this before, there's nothing wrong with designating scriptures as healing scriptures or finance scriptures or what. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It could be a healing scripture. It could be a financial scripture. It could be a scripture that brings closure to a broken heart. We have to find out what word does God want us to share, because that is the truth in our situation. That is the truth, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Father, you're sending me to that job, and all, none of these people believe I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And your cup runneth over. Why? Well, no one sees a full cup, but they see it when it's running over. Seems like everything keeps going wrong. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So we need to go to our Father and get our direction as to what we should do with the word that he's given us. And don't assume that we know. We know one thing. We need to go to our Father for everything. I mean, don't get me going to phase two. Well, before I unplug and get to the natural, is there anyone here present? I'm going to ask you two questions. You've never received Jesus Christ as Savior. And you realize that Jesus himself said, no one gets to the Father unless they go through me. And you want to get to the Father. Well, I'm going to lead us in a confession, because it's the same here, same as anyone watching online. I'm going to lead you in a confession. If you say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, you'll be saved, and you'll have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, let's do that first. Say, Father, I thank you that Jesus is your Son, and he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and went to hell in my place, and after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So, Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. I'm asking you to make something new of me. So if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, if you're here, please raise your hands. What I'm going to do is, we have some people, some staff that are anointed. They're just going to get some free information to you. If you're online, please use the contact us information. I made that confession of faith with Pastor Greg today. Please send me some information. I want to know what to do next, and we will send you the information. Or if you have a question specific for me, use the same contact information and contact me. I promise you, I will respond. It may not be the same day I get your communication, but I will respond. I will. The other thing I'm going to ask you, if you, like me, have been guilty of being right and taking a strong stand just because you were right in your own eyes, would you just stand? And just say, Father, I realize that in my quest to be right, I've been wrong because I haven't been putting you first. I repent, Lord, and I thank you for your forgiveness. And I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you also, Lord, for healing anyone that may have been negatively affected by my stand of being right. I realize now the only rightness I have is the right to seek you first in all my choices, decisions, even my thoughts and feelings. I can never be truly right unless I ask you how you want me to handle any situation and then do what you say. Thank you, Lord, for your trust and love for me, that you're allowing me another opportunity to be truly right in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus.